Techno Progressivo. You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver.
Welcome to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh, and you're listening to 101.9 CITR in Vancouver. I'm proud to work and live on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. We're traveling all the way to Toronto tonight for the first of a two-part interview with the legend that is MC Flipside. Full track list and a selection of MC Flipside web links can be found at Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Let's check out the first half of tonight's interview. This is DJ Waugh speaking to Toronto-based DJ, MC, and producer MC Flipside. He's been producing and DJing for over two decades. With releases on One Love, Tool Room, Phoenix Music, Raw Authentic, and Hot Fuss, he's clearly made his mark on the scene. He's collaborated alongside Mark Knight, Funk Agenda, Deadmau5, Agent Orange, and virtually everyone in the Toronto club scene. His gig list includes stops all over North America, the rest of the world, and he is a mainstay for the Toronto club and event scene. He also has two Juno nominations to his credit, as well as a Tool Room sound pack. It's my pleasure to be speaking to him. This is MC Flipside, so kicking things off here, how would you currently define your sound, and would you say it's evolved or shifted over time?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on your program, and thank you for being a voice in our culture. Electronic music in Canada it's always been a mainstay to the music heads such as ourselves and so many of the dedicated enthusiasts, but it's amazing to see its evolution and growth over the past 5 years. So I just wanted to thank you for your dedication on behalf of all of us creators, you know, fans of it. It's important to say thank you to all the people that represent across our country, because, you know, there was a time when I look back in the early 2000s where it was looking a little bit grim. So it's great to see, and thank you for your time and your dedication. So to answer your question, there's different parts of my artistic brain. I've got the producer side, the songwriter side, the vocalist side, the performer side. And so I don't like to say a jack of all trades, because to me that sometimes denotes or could be interpreted as all over the place. But really, there's a focus in those different areas, and they're very specific. So I would say, as a producer, I lean towards making very hypnotic, rolling, soulful, underground tech house. I try to steer away from any of the generic styles. Not that there's, again, this is not a criticism. It isn't what I like nor I play. My roots as a producer, not as an MC, come from watching and listening to D&H, Stickman, Plus 8, when John Acquaviva and Richie were doing a lot of tech house stuff on Definitive. You know, back in those days, I remember producers such as Brian Zentz inspiring me, as well as Speedy J. Then there's, you know, the Stickman side of things, where to me, that was the early forms of tech house, G Flame and Mystic G, Peace Division. So that would help people understand where I come from, rooted in Chicago house. So my tech house tends to have jacking rhythms or very hypnotic rhythms. So it's a hybrid between Italian tech house and influences from Detroit, Chicago, and of course my beloved hometown of Toronto. As a producer, that's what I like to focus on. As a DJ, I like to represent that, as well as a panache for, you know, I can play super deep, or I like to interject and hit, you know, hit people with a little bit of energy. I like a lot of the stuff on Hot Creations, as well as, I mean, there's so many labels to think of a few off the top, but I do definitely like the stuff on Raw Authentic, Hot Creations, as well as Revival New York, which I've been lucky enough to be signed on. And I do like Tool Room tracks as well. And then as a vocalist, when I'm performing, you know, my inspiration comes from a lot of soulful vocalists, as well as MCs that really bring it, whether it's Black Thought or, you know, nowadays, Armani Caesar, as well as, you know, Griselda. For me, lyricism and flows, I'm still a super, super fan of Styles P and Jadakiss. So lyricism, delivery, confidence. And then as fan, I love my drum and bass, as well as my deep, deep, deeper grooves and Afro house as well. So I'm just passionate about it all. And there's different moods and different times where I decide to, you know, put that hat on.
We are about to go back, way back, to the roots of house music. The true meaning, unity, family, one sound, together around the globe. For the love of beats, for the love of tracks, for the love
Your latest track, Motivate, dropped on Phoenix Black back in November. What can you tell me about that track?
Motivate is actually very rooted in Chicago house in terms of if you listen to the percussion. I did the synthesis using an Ovation Peak. I really wanted that automated line to move, and I wanted it to open and close, but not be annoying. So I have it coming in and out of the track as it, you know, it's underneath my vocal talking about don't let them break you or motivate you, because often the trajectory of an artist, the path of an artist, that road that you're on, there are many highs, but there are also lows that ebb and flow. If you can learn to ride it like a roller coaster, you learn to become galvanized. It helps you stay inspired, and it helps you deal with the times when there are the lows. We always talk about, like, for example, on social media, we killed it. It was lit. It was fire. But what about that time, that track that you put your entire existence into it? You bled in your heart and soul. You know, you were bleeding in the studio for, you know, just lack of a better term. That label that you dreamed of being on said, it's really well made, but we're going to pass on it. How are you going to handle that? Because someone's no is someone else, somebody else's yes. And so that's what Motivate is about, is to stick to it. So when Robert Owens sent a message to me, he's another one of my vocal heroes, especially because he was the voice of Tears with Satoshi Tomy, one of my all-time favorite house songs ever, period. And to have him send a message and say, these vocals are great, this track is really well done. It was like, to me, that was the equivalent of winning a Grammy, because Robert Owens, to me, is one of those of true Chicago house. I mean, he was part of Fingers Inc. He's amazing.
Okay, let's take a look at your early exposure to electronic music. Can you recall any specific DJs, clubs, radio stations, anything like that, that sort of had an impact on you at that period of time? And what effect did it have?
As a child, when I was listening to the radio, there was a radio station called CFNY. And on 102.1 FM, I remember one night as a huge, huge fan of Depeche Mode, I would listen to a lot of New Wave, and I was obsessed with New Order and Skinny Puppy, and I remember hearing the first Nine Inch Nails album and just being like, wow, this music is just on a level. As the night progressed, I had my headphones on, and my dad would be like, you know, don't play it too loud. It's getting late. And I'd be like, oh, you know, I want to hear this show. There's some cool music playing. Listen to it with me. So he'd hear it and be like, oh, cool, okay. You know, I'd rather you be here and behaving and, like, enjoying yourself than being out in the street causing mischief like some of the other people in my neighborhood. And I remember hearing Chris Shepherd playing Moby, Go, and early Fingers, and early Steve Silk Hurley. And then on Sundays, that was on Friday, followed by Hedley Jones, that I can't forget, who's now a really accomplished photographer out in Los Angeles. And I remember hearing him be very, like, charismatic on the microphone, doing things that influenced me when I was doing a lot of drum and bass, you know, saying terminology like select a wheel, and he would pull back like an early Chicago house record, like Work It to the Bone. And I was like just completely blown away by this. And that was on Fridays. Fast forward to Sundays on CKLM, which is the station from Ryerson, 88.1, that no longer exists. But at the time, there was a show called Dave's Dance Music that was hosted by, I believe, Trinidadian Canadian Dave Ahmad. And it would be on from 1 to 4, and he'd play hip-hop and R&B, a little bit of calypso, but he would also play early house. And so that started getting me really into the music. Then I discovered another community radio station, CHRY 105.5, which is now The Vibe, and the program director is Mastermind, another legend of Canadian radio for the hip-hop heads. And Mitch Winthrop and Nick Holder did the Rhythm Method on Friday evening. So I remember coming home and hearing all of the early New York house, the early Masters of Work, the early MK, the early stuff on Emotive, all these phenomenal soulful house records, Kerry Chandler, artists of this nature, and just becoming obsessed. I remember the first time I heard Ping Pong on Strictly Rhythm, that record, I'll never forget it, you know, hearing that jazz sample looped up. Another artist was Pal Joey, but getting back to Ping Pong and hearing that jazz sample and then hearing, you know, Ping Pong, pardon my singing. Ping Pong. Ping pong, make my life a sing song. Ping pong, na 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 na, na 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 na, inspiration. And just hearing this jazz vocalist over these incredible kick drums and thinking to myself, this is the future, but I love it now. Like, I knew that it was like unlike anything else I've ever heard. And that was the roots. And on these programs, I would hear them talk about events, warehouse parties, and raves, the early raves. I would hear Shep talk about raves, and I would hear Mitch Winthrop talk about these warehouse parties. And so I started attending these events, you know, with strict rules from my parents. Like, literally, my dad would drop me off at the subway station, and, you know, because he was, man, in his mid-30s, late-30s, it was like having a buddy, you know? And he'd be like, look, I'm going to let you go. But if you don't come home on time, you're not going anymore. You're going to get grounded. And I'd be like, but Dad, they don't get good till 3 in the morning. And he'd be like, rules are rules. You want to experience this culture? You want to learn about it? I'm going to take you early. You'll be one of the first ones there, but you're still going to hear it. And so I would listen. And then, you know, he would let me stay longer. As I entered, you know, my senior year of high school, he would allow me to stay longer, filled with strict rules. And then when I got to college, he'd be like, okay, you got to do what you have to do now. There is no curfew for you. It went from going to warehouse parties to going to RPM to hear people like Matt C and Shep. But the event that changed my life was when I went to my very first drum and bass party. And it was at The Sanctuary, which was a goth club. And it was a Delirium event thrown by the most legendary junglist, in my opinion, and my good friend, Marcus Visionary. I walked in, they didn't even search me. He was playing. Jungle PhD was playing. I mean, listen to the excitement in my voice. I can close my eyes and it's happening all over again. But the gentleman that really caught my attention was Dr. No. The charisma, the way he was dressed. He's like 6'3", 6'4", the tall stature, handsome lad, playing all of these white labels that sampled the house music that I was talking about, but sped up with reggae samples and break beats with these interesting synthesized sounds. Beep, 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 beep. Selector, all the room boys in the place. And like hearing all this stuff and being like, is it house? Is it techno? Is it, what is this? And it was early hardcore. And it just fueled me to learn more and to learn more. And I would start going out to all these raves. And basically, as I started going out and meeting people and trying to bring out that positive energy, I started getting to know the promoters and the DJs and just learning from them.
I just want to break free.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to lose my mind. Let the rhythm take me.
Oh, yeah.
To a place that redefines. I just want to break free.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to lose my mind. Let the rhythm take me.
Oh, yeah.
To a place that redefines. In a world that's full of crazy, you help me and you save me, feeling utterly amazing. To just be so break free, so break free, so break free.
Okay, how would you rate the Toronto club scene now in comparison to what it was when you first got interested in this music?
Well, I can honestly say that after the pandemic, it feels like we're, because music is cyclical, because I have, I've always been a music nerd. I like to pay attention to the movement of the culture and where it's headed. And I feel like in 2023, Toronto and across Canada, like for example, in Vancouver, I've had the pleasure to play for Blueprint before. I've danced at Gorgamesh. You know, I have a lot of friends that reside out in British Columbia, and both from the drum and bass scene, from the old school rave scene, but also people that are still heavily involved. And when I saw Blueprint announcing that they're starting a new series going back to the warehouse, that to me is where Canada is headed. Like, we are seeing a resurgence of warehouse parties, Electric Island, which is a collaboration between Live Nation as well as Team Akoda, continues to expand at Ontario Place. I'm seeing the After Hours. I'm very blessed to play at both of them, Vertigo and Comfort Zone, continue to pull in numbers that are respectable every single weekend. I'm seeing events inside spaces like Noir that's found in the Mega Club Rebel bring artists like Matthias Tanzaman from Circo Loco on a weekly basis. I'm seeing radio programs happening on commercial stations such as Z103.5 with Man's Own and Strong. I'm seeing Twitch shows exploding with DJs here, with fans all over the world. And it's ranging from deep to afro to blistering techno. I look at the fact that, you know, I was one of the people that pushed for the new Juno category in the Underground Dance Court category with our captain, the one and only Sydney Blue, my dear friend. She's like family to me, and she was the spearhead and asked me to be, you know, her left wing, her right wing, for, you know, lack of a better term, to assist her in helping manifest it. So I was proud that we achieved that with Mark Quayle and the community, of course, that helped us. And I just look at, to me, Toronto right now is in the best place it's been in a very long time. It is popping. It is like boiling water that's bubbling over. Like, this year is going to be special.
That's right, we came to Rec Shop. Damn right, we came to Rec Shop. Damn right, we came to Rec Shop. Party people moving on the block. That's right, we came to Rec Shop. Da, 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 da. We'll be right back.
Okay, and then on your journey of first getting into this music and then eventually starting to produce this music, was there a moment in time there where you realized that this wasn't just a hobby and a passion anymore, but you had actually started to make a career out of it?
When I started DJing raves, I would also freestyle and kick ballistics on the mic. And this is the thing. There's this stereotype that a lot of MCs are in love with their own voice and like all they want to do is talk over set. All you have to do is go on Toronto Rave Archives and listen to any of the sets I hosted at Better Days Productions or even my sets with Freaky Flow. I do an intro, I do an extra, the odd rhyme here and there, because a lot of the times the crowd was starting to lose steam and Steve would be like, hey, kick a little something because I'm losing them. And that doesn't mean he didn't know how to play. It's just there's ebbs and flows like I keep mentioning. So I started hosting a radio show and I got an opportunity through Scott Turner, who used to be the program director at CFNY. Do you see how everything comes full circle? And CFNY was where Shep was on and did his show on Fridays and Saturdays. Started really becoming popular in Southern Ontario and Western New York doing this program where I got a chance to interview everybody from the Chemical Brothers to Roger Sanchez to Green Velvet to like showcasing Canadian talent, which I'm very passionate about still to this day. I would be mixing on the show. I would be, performing live. And then that led to me getting a lot of gigs as an MC, but also as a DJ. So I started realizing when the Stickman approached me, hey, have you thought about doing records and producing and featuring your vocals, but also doing mix compilations, because they were a big deal back then to do these mix albums. So in 1997, 98, they got me a distribution deal with Warner in Canada. So the first comp was called Trippin' on Energy, and it was available at HMV. Organically, we moved over 8,000 units, and that featured Green Velvet, The Stalker, Richie Hawtin, Spastic. And so that's when I realized, okay, I'm getting paid well to DJ and host these events. I've now got these compilations coming out. I'm now getting requests from places like Winnipeg, which was my first out of province gig, and Edmonton and Calgary. And then the Stickman brought me out to Vancouver and I met Clay from Futuristic Flavor. And so he was like, oh, you don't want to like talk over everything. I really like you. We should fly you out again. And that's when he started flying me out to host his raid. And then it kind of just built organically. And that's when I realized, okay, I've got to like get someone to help me produce these radio shows, because it's a full-time job doing radio. Even if you're on the weekend, you're working Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, programming, looking for records. And that's when I realized, okay, I have a career here. And then I got hired by the Stickman as their junior A&R, and I discovered an artist by the name of Freaky Glow. I brought him, well, I didn't discover him, but I brought him to the table and said, we need to work with this guy. But the person I did discover, and I'm proud of it, is Paranoid Jack. So he was my jewel that I found. And that's when I realized, okay, this is my full-time job. This is my career. I am a full-time electronic music artist and, proponent and advocate of this music and culture.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day.
pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
You are listening to the MC Flipside interview here on Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Juan. The station is 101.9 CITR. The first half wrapped up with the track Tonight's the Night, and Ain't No Way gets the ball rolling for part two. Full track list and a selection of MC Flipside web links can be found at Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. I'm really enjoying this. It's like a trip through the history of Toronto's club scene. So let's check out more of what he had to say. Okay, let's talk about production a little bit here. What is your history of DAWs that you've worked with, and currently which DAW are you working with, and why is that the case?
Okay, well, currently I'm a proponent and I just love using Ableton. I'm on Ableton 11 in my studio. I love the workflow. First of all, a lot of the stock plugins in Ableton are great. I've also, you know, armed with a ton of Wave plugins. I love using Diva. I used to use Omnisphere a lot, but I do have a lot of analog synths, so I do love using my Korg Minolo, my Novation Base Station. I like using the Novation Peak. When I was doing a lot of stuff with the Tyrus, I would always bug them to turn on the Moog Sub 37 as well as the Voyager. But for me, especially when I'm doing vocals, I love the workflow of Ableton. I just love how easy it is to work and edit, to basically expand in it, because it's such, to me, a well laid out program. The sound quality has improved as well since 8, because I used to be a Logic guy, and all my vocals, like, for example, on High Friend with Deadmau5 or on Nobody Listens to Techno with Funk Agenda, the clarity in Logic is still, to this day, to me, superior. But Ableton has shortened and closed the gap. You know, Ableton 11 sounds pretty damn good. And if you've got a good sound card, and, you know, you could bounce it down and mix it down in Logic if you want, but I feel like it's a lot closer. And I started, though, on Cubase with a K2000 sampler when I did my early stuff on Stickman with Paranoid Jack. And I like Cubase, but I felt like in the mid-2000s, I just kind of lost interest in it and switched to Logic, where I felt like Logic, to me, at the time, you know, an Apple product, it was easy to use. I liked the drop-down menus. And I wasn't as efficient on it as I am able to now, but it was an easy learning curve. And I just loved how my voice sounded in it. I just loved it. But Ableton, to me, it's just easy to learn. It's got a great interface. It's not intimidating. And it just makes sense. I love how it sounds. There's a grit to it, although it's a lot cleaner now, as I mentioned earlier. But I really like the way it sounds. And I like how my voice sounds in it.
Bringing the house down. Ain't no way that the crowd can
Okay, you've touched on this a little bit to get started here, but when you are making tracks or starting to consider making tracks, what's your approach to that whole process? Do you like to start with melodies and tunes that you hear in your head and then get to the studio and produce? Or do you like to just sit in the studio and see what that leads to?
Very good question. I actually do both because I use my iPhone very often to capture ideas. Like, for example, you know, I definitely cannot say I'm a good beatboxer, but I try and I might be like, you know, I might do something like, you know, a bass line. Boom, 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 boom. And then I might think of a vocal like do 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 do. And then I might be like, okay, cool, man, exit. Or then I might be like, yeah, I got that feeling, yeah, I got that feeling, yeah, I got that feeling. And I think of my voice as a sample. Then I might think of some drums or certain clap patterns, and I'll literally record all these little things and decide what's whack, what isn't, and then I'll go to my studio. That's one style. Sometimes I'll come up with the hook first, right? Like, for example, the other day I wrote this, and I'm literally reading it on my phone right now. A feeling. Don't let this moment slip away. A feeling. Your state of mind has found its way. A feeling. The world may leave you feeling numb. A feeling. We ain't leaving till the morning comes. Sweat dripping from the ceiling. We could use some healing. Together, keep believing. Breathe. What does that mean? Is it a relationship? Is it the dance floor? It's a feeling. So then I might go to the studio, lay down some drums, and then reverse engineer it instead of using the voice note, where I'll turn on my synths and start coming up with some like counter melodies, something to play off the vocal. Does it work? Does it fit? I try to think of it as a puzzle. So that's A, B, and then C. If someone sends me a beat, like Carlo Leo when he sent me Hood Shit, I literally freestyle. So I heard that bass line, the way it had that aggressiveness, and literally I'm like, that raw, that Hood Shit, that raw, you talking about culture? Because that's what literally fired in my head, you know, in my brain. My neurons just went, you talking about culture? Because this aggressive beat that Carlo made, and I know how dedicated he is to the underground. I just wanted to do something that embodied the way he DJs, the way he produces, that raw, that Hood Shit. That's what it means. So those are the different types of ways. Those are the different ways that I like attack a track.
Raw.
Okay, you mentioned starting out with Cubase there. Can you recall from that period of time when you first got started producing, was there some element of production that was particularly challenging for you? And how did you eventually get over that?
That's a great question. I used to hate editing vocals in Cubase because at the time you got to think about how slow technology was when you pushed it, right? And then I would get frustrated because I would feel like, does that edit even sound tight? Did I do it right? Why does it sound like shit? I'm like having a hard time keeping up with like the little software changes because then the computer would chug forever. And I would feel like I would lose a lot of time, you know? So it would make me not want to use it. The one thing that I liked about it was the sound quality. But I did think the way the menu was easy for me to follow helped me because, again, I didn't know what I was doing in it. I had to learn on my own. And I was very lucky that I had Manny, Paranoid Jack, helping me. He guided me along the way because he went to engineering school and that's what he learned on. So whenever I got stuck, I would use my sampler, start making, you know, like a very raw, elementary, rudimental track. And then I found like the chopping and editing would take a while to get because I was obsessed with like doing like a lot of loop chops for my beats, you know, like doubling up on the clap. But, you know, at the time I was listening to a lot of Armand van Helden. So I was trying to figure out what he did and, you know, like going in with like a magnifying glass and trying to narrow down, like, how do I just isolate that one loop and how can I like chop that other drum pattern just so I can grab the clap out of that, but the shaker out of that one and then the sticks or the ride from that. And then I have to admit, I did get lucky because Manny bought this Novation drum station and I would jack all of my percussion from there. And again, I wasn't always the fastest in those days. So I tried to use a lot of outboard gear to help me not get stuck on knowing the sub pages in the application. And before I forget, one of the things that I did like in Ableton that I started working with in the past was Operator, you know, so that one really helps, and Frequency Shifter as well. I'm not going to say that I'm like the absolute master in them, but Operator is pretty wild. It's gnarly what you can do. But sometimes a stock sound comes out fat. But getting back to Cubase, that's how I used it. Very primitively, but a lot of my early releases on Stickman, like Rock the Spot or my remix for Troy Brown, it's in Cubase. And I still listen to them and I'm proud of how they came out. Very raw, very groove driven, but it helped me capture my ideas. It was frustrating, but I slowly but surely got the hang of it. And editing vocals was a pain, man, because it took a while to process. That's the thing.
Since I survived it, and I'm talking about it now it's imperative that these people silence me, plain and simple. I told you about people that I had to deal with right in front of my door right here. You understand what I'm saying? I tell people, look, when you call me, know that this conversation is being listened to.
plain and simple. I can't tell you how many times my MySpace, Facebook, email accounts, websites get shut down. You understand what I'm saying? I know they listen. You understand what I'm saying? To a degree, I know these days are numbered for me. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay, let's switch over to DJing here. I imagine that currently you're probably using CDJs, but can you walk us through the process of what it was that you were using when you first got started into this and working your way all the way up to now?
So at home with my partner, we have the CDJ 2000s as well as the Nexus 900 mixer, but we also still have four Technics 1200s, and they're never going to leave. I've got over probably 9,000 vinyl, ranging from deep house, garage, techno, minimal. Like, I've got a crazy techno collection. I've got Surgeon records that are sealed and will remain that way. I've got all the early Marco Corolla. I've got crazy. I've got all the early drum codes on vinyl. I've got a lot of Tomo, Kerry Leckerbusch. And the funny thing is, people don't know that about me. They just assume that because I'm into more soulful, jack and groovy type of production, right? So 1200s and my trusty Newmark at the time just helped me learn how to DJ. Getting, you know, I remember Peter and Tyrone, who are legends of warehouse music here in Toronto, they said to me, do not use your hand. When you're slowing it down and speeding it up, trust the pitch control. Anticipate it. Get into the groove. Understand that every 1200 has its own unique soul. And I was like, what do you mean by that? And he's like, they kind of have their own speed. Some are tighter, some are looser. But if you can find that sweet spot and ride that beat, you'll hear it before it happens. When you need to notch it back or notch it up, if you need to go -2, or if you need to kind of be, you know how on 1200s when you're on zero, you got to be very careful. It's really annoying, but if you can learn to wiggle up, wiggle down, you can be so tight that it phases. And when it starts phasing, that's when you know. And it's like beautiful. In the mid-2000s, I discovered the Pioneer 1000, the CDJ 1000s. And I was like, whoa, this is nuts. How you can loop it and edit the loop and create your own builds and use hot cues and, you know, have an SD card and just start using the cue button to create samples and, you know, changing the different, you know, 6 plus 10 and then wide, where you can have an acapella and be like, yeah, and make your own like cool effects. And then when the 2000s came out, and yes, the sync button, I was like, okay, so I can literally have three decks going on with the sync button playing rolling beat. And now I can do something live, like a spoken word or a freestyle. So I have no beef with sync. If you're pushing the boundaries, if you're doing what Richie Hawtin does, or Luciano, or DJ Markey, for drum and bass heads, if you're pushing the boundaries and you're using it as a tool to create, you know, samples, and using hot cues to launch acapellas or, you know, sound effects or even melodies on the fly, that's different. But if you're just using sync to mix one record into another, come on. Like, sync is there to push creativity, not to hinder it. That's my opinion. So 1200s were the foundation. I still use them. I love them. I mean, you notice how much harder it is compared to, you know, especially the CDJ 3000. They are an absolute technological marvel. It's essentially a supercomputer. And I love the touch screen. So yeah, that was my evolution with DJing. But the very first pair of turntables I ever bought were Geminis, and they were terrible. But they taught me how to beat match really tightly. And my first CD turntable was the American DJ top loading, which was atrocious, but it taught me to have that precision with beat matching, you know, to anticipate, like I mentioned earlier, to get ahead of it or behind it so that you stay locked in the groove.
Are you receiving? Can you feel me? The information that you're seeking, a sensation that is sneaking as you're reaching for the ceiling. There's no fighting, the igniting, this reciting is inviting. All systems go out on the floor. This is what you came here for. Open your thoughts are flying, so the bounce is amplifying, taking form as you're complying. Grab your
waiting, a sensation that is sneaking as you're reaching for the ceiling. There's no fighting, the igniting, this reciting is inviting. All systems go out on the floor. This is what you came here for, my friend. All systems go out on the floor. Open your shots are flying, so the bounce that's amplifying, taking form as you're complying. Grab the notion, carry on replying. A top tension, embrace mention, show ascension, feeds retention. All systems go on the floor. This is what you came here for.
Okay, and let's build on that a little bit. You mentioned using three decks there. Is it possible that sometimes you bring in a fourth deck? And if so, are you playing other musical elements, acapellas, stems, and things like that in your set?
Very, very, very proper question. Yes. When I'm using three decks and one of my residencies, Comfort Zone, just got a fourth, so I'm going to push myself. I like to learn live. I take risks. But normally I have acapellas on one deck as well as painful sound effects. Like a wind noise, or, you know, I like a lot of natural elements like the sounds of wave, water, nature, just to use as a texture, even vinyl static, which people don't even know I have going on low, you know, in the mix, just to give it texture. So if there's like a dip in volume during the break, it doesn't lose the impact. The system is still purring. Then on deck two, I'll usually have percussive loops going. Deck three and four would be used for strictly mixing. And then I might switch over to deck two for mixing. But deck one is always effects, textures, acapellas, and then two and three for mixing and four for mixing, interchanging with perhaps two or four being a hi-hat loop, a pop loop, and percussive loop. But always keeping in mind, I don't like to get busy. You don't want to have a hi-hat party.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater, check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
We are all done for another episode of Techno Progressivo. Thank you so much to MC Flipside for all the great stories. We wrapped up with his redo of the Faithless classic Insomnia. Full track list and a selection of MC Flipside web links can be found on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page, so head over there to find out more about him. If you've enjoyed the show, visit the Techno Progressivo show page at CITR.ca or Apple Podcasts to give this one another spin, or check out more great guest mixes and interviews from days gone by. Keep up to date with the show, follow our socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Attic Jams is up next on the station. Stick around to see what they've got in store for you tonight, and join me back here in 2 weeks for the second part of this interview with MC Flipside. I'll see you then.
Greasy insomnia, please release me and let me dream about making mad love on the heat. Tearing off tights with my teeth, but there's no relief. I'm wide awake in my kitchen. It's black and I'm lonely. Oh, if I could only get some sleep. Creaky noises make my skin